Okay. List of do's and don'ts. My name for it is a sin list. Sin list. My plan is to kind of take one at a time. I want to invite us, as we look at these injunctions, these imperatives, to kind of see it in a different way. Perhaps if you are like me, look at it in a different way than you're used to looking at it. We're going to look at each one of these sins, and I'm going to invite you to, instead of looking at each one of these and thinking, wow, people who do that, they're bad people. Bad people do this. And maybe when I do that, I'm bad. And I should work hard at not doing this. I mean, that's the usual mindset. Am I right? Anybody else with me on this? When we read these things, these are the thoughts that come into our head. And that's how we usually think of it. I would propose to you that is exactly the approach that we look at the laws of God. All of these are in God's law. And nothing here is anything new than what's in the law of God. But if you are approaching God from a system of law, then those are the thoughts that will come to our mind. Bad people do this, and I'm bad when I do that, and I should work really hard at not doing that. I'm going to invite you to, as I go through each one of these, today I'm just taking one of them, instead, approach it with the attitude of, does this sin that's described here relate to me? If it does, is there room for God's grace still with me now, in regards to this sin? Instead, let's look at these injunctions as opportunities for the grace of God to work in our lives. This is something we can bring to Him, and that He will be happy to hear from us. And it's something that gives Him joy for us to bring to His presence. When we look at these things in the attitude of, wow, bad people do this, and I'm bad when I do this, there's no joy in that. There's no excitement. There's no enthusiasm to look at it even deeper. We instead would rather not think of them. There's one thing that a member of this church told me one time that has stuck with me. After I was preaching about something, they said, oh, Fred, whenever you preach, I feel guilty. You know, that's not the goal that I'm looking for. I think what this person is trying to tell me is sometimes when I preach, they're forced to look at some things about themselves that they're not used to looking at. And they realize that there's some things about themselves that are still not the way God wants us to. And the natural way we respond to that is, oh man, I don't like this. This feels bad. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. And that is precisely what keeps us from seeking the grace of God. Instead, let's look at these things of, oh, wow, could that be true of me? If it is, wow, this is something I can bring to God. It's something I can seek more grace from. Let's approach this particular sin with those eyes today. I'm going to be reading two verses, so this real short passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, the very first in the list of sins in this passage, begins at verse 25. And Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, each of you must put off all falsehood and speak truthfully with your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And that the parallel verse in Colossians to that is Colossians 3:9, where in Colossians, Paul says, do not lie to each other. Put off falsehood. That's what I'm going to be talking about today, putting off falsehood, which includes speaking truthfully to our neighbors, and also includes do not lie to each other. You know, those are kind of two slightly different things. You know, it's possible to not lie to somebody and yet be promoting falsehood. Am I right about that? Falsehood is more, it's a broader topic than just a blatant lie. A lie is when we say something that we know is opposed to some facts that are there, and there's plenty of examples of that in the news to this day. And I can't help myself, but I just read today a quote from our beloved president, who has been saying that 9/11, he was there, and they quoted a person who was in charge of the whole operation there, and he was saying, if Trump was there, he certainly didn't check in with me. I have no recollection or record of him ever being involved with this. So when we lie, we are, from our mouth, saying something that is opposed to something that we know is a fact. And that may be slightly different than saying something that we didn't know wasn't true. It also includes saying things that are part of the truth, the part of the truth that make me look good, right? And conveniently ignoring the part of the truth that doesn't make me look all that good. Partial truth, I would propose to you, is also falsehood. Falsehood is when something, let me put it this way. If we are communicating, is to create a false impression in that other person, we are committing falsehood. Even if the things we are saying may be factually correct, but our goal is to create a false impression, I would propose to you that is false as well. That is part of the falsehood that God is calling us to put off. Falsehood can include telling part of the truth that benefits me, and it includes telling the truth, telling truthful things for the purpose of deceiving. If we are telling something that is true, but the goal that we're shooting for is for our listener to believe something that isn't, that, I would propose, is also falsehood. And I cannot help but every time I listen to a political debate, so many times this is exactly what some of those politicians are doing. They may be telling truthful things, true, for the purpose of diverting us from looking at what is true to something that may be false. They want us to give us a different impression, perhaps a false impression of themselves and what they stand for. I would also propose that falsehood includes silence. Silence when the truth is what is called for. If I were to say, everyone here knows the sky is pink, and you sit there, don't say a thing, maybe nod your head. Silence sometimes is for the purpose of creating a false impression, promoting a falsehood. When we don't say what we know is true, so that a false impression can be created. And we are part of that. Non-disclosure, sins that may be in this, and especially when it comes to some other sins that may be in this list. We may tell part of our truth, but we creatively do not disclose some things so that people will have a false impression of what is really going on with us. I would propose to you that is also falsehood. Once again, I am saying this all not so that we can feel more and more guilty, but I want us to invite us to maybe look a little deeper than, did I lie today? I didn't say anything intentionally, blatantly wrong to somebody. Well, if that's true, there's no room for grace today. No room for grace. No more room. There's nothing else I can surrender to let the Holy Spirit come in. If I say, well, maybe there's some things I did that really was to give a false impression to somebody, then there's room for God to work with us. There's room for God's grace to still enter into our lives at this point. Second thing I want to kind of look at is, why do people lie? Why do people want to create false impressions? Well, I cannot speak for the whole world. I can speak for myself. So this is, I'm telling you the reasons I lie. When I lie, when I maybe don't say the whole truth. This is the reasons why I do it. First of all, I lie to protect myself from harm. I know that if the truth about something comes out, the repercussions might not be pretty. I may have to suffer some pain. I may have to suffer some embarrassment. I may not get opportunities to get some things that I want. So I lie to protect myself from harm. Now, there is nothing wrong with wanting not to be harmed. I don't think that is a bad thing. But if we to protect ourselves, there's some room for God's grace to still work. You know, many times with many sins, once again, I'm speaking for myself, it seems like if I don't sin, if I don't, for example, lie about whatever it is that I'm thinking I need to lie about to protect myself, then what do I do? It just feels like I have no option. You know, and that's the state of mind that we're in with it, where we get stuck in our sins. because we see no option, and therefore we say, therefore, I can continue this sin. It takes courage to say, I don't know what else to do, but I know what I'm doing is not the right one, is not what God wants. Lord, please help me let go of this so I can go to I have no idea where. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to do a job interview and be honest about where I really am, what my skills really are, what my history with my previous job that I was fired from is. How do I be truthful about that without it causing me harm? I don't know. We may be in that sort of situation sometimes. And you know, that's exactly the space where we can seek the grace of God. God, show me what to do. Give me strength. Give me the power to do what is right, and when I don't even know what that is yet. But all I know is that I'm powerless. Sometimes I lie just to escape embarrassment. I don't like being embarrassed. And if people know certain things about me, then I don't want them to know that. So I create a false impression so that I save myself from embarrassment. Now, it is also true, sometimes people really aren't interested in all the details of where we've gone, protecting them from needless barrage of information. You ever met some people that just give you too much information about themselves? Just too much. I didn't want to know that. Why are you telling me this? We don't want to do that either. We don't want to divulge things that people are not really interested in hearing from us. But am I withholding truth from people because of my fear of my own embarrassment? I know that's one reason why I lie. When I lie, that's a reason why I do it. Another reason Fred hints lies or creates falsehood is that I do it to avoid conflicts that I know I probably will lose. I know if I say the truth about whatever it is, my wife may come home from a business trip and say, Did you mop the floor? If I say no, I know I'm going to get confrontation. She's going to get on my case. I don't like that, and it's a conflict I know I'll lose. So sometimes I do some things that I didn't do. I sometimes lie to avoid conflict. Sometimes conflicts are what needs to happen. And I'm talking about conflicts with me. People having conflict with me may be exactly what needs to happen, because I need to change, perhaps. Sometimes I lie, I create falsehood, to start conflicts that I know I'll win. Is anybody else there like me? There are some conflicts I want to have because I know I'm right, and I know that person needs to change, and I need to be the one to confront them about it. And so in order to, you know, some people are really slick at giving me ammunition to nail them with. You know, I know there's something fishy about what they're doing, and I want to tell them about it, but they're not giving me the whole ammunition I need. So Sometimes I will exaggerate something they did because it is a form of falsehood. Exaggeration is a form of falsehood. So sometimes that's the reason why I lie. I create falsehood because there's conflicts I want to have. And so I exaggerate things or I minimize some other things so that I can have this conflict that I know I'm going to win. You see, I don't mind conflicts if I know I'm going to win them. The conflicts I don't like are the ones that I know I'm going to lose and the ones that I'm not sure I'm going to win. Those are the ones that I kind of avoid. Another reason I lie or create falsehood is to create an image of myself that people will admire. I have this image that I want people to see Fred Hintz as, and so I will say part of the truth, I will say things that may not be completely true, so that people will get the impression I want them to have of me. Especially, I want to give me the credit that I've earned. You know, I've really worked hard at some things. I've worked really hard. I'm here every Sunday half an hour before anybody comes, and I do all these things, and by golly, I ought to get credit for that, right? And so when I feel like I'm not getting the credit I deserve, sometimes that leads me to commit falsehood, to give false impressions, so that I can, take by force the credit I think I've earned that people aren't willing to give me. Anybody else like that? I think I'm the only person in this room that's true of. Sometimes I want credit for something positive, something good I did, and by golly, people aren't giving me that credit. So sometimes I resort to lying to get it. So that's me. I don't know how much of that applies to anybody else here. There may be other reasons. Some of you could tell me some of the reasons why you lie. And that might help me find, maybe that's true of me too. And I didn't even know it. And when you tell the truth about you, that might spark me to think, oh my, you're right. Maybe I do that too. And that's more room for the grace of God. That's more room for the grace of God. I need to hear stuff like that so that I can get even more grace from God. Another question I have is this. Is it really unrealistic to expect complete truthfulness? This verse is saying, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Well, first of all, you know, I kind of find myself wanting to go, well, who's our neighbor? Just like the people asked Jesus. Well, the Bible says, love your neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? And I want to define neighbor so that people I don't like don't fall into that category. And this is saying to speak truthfully too. I would propose to you that maybe neighbor here is the same as the neighbor that Jesus answered when he was asked that question. It's anybody around us. Anybody around us is our neighbor. And, you know, this verse says, for we are all members of one body. And it's easy to kind of think, oh, yeah, one body. That's a church, right? We're all members of the body of Christ. But it's talking about neighbors, which Jesus said includes more than just the children of Israel, more than just the people of the body of Christ. You know, we are members. We're all members of one body, even people who are not in the church. We are members of the same body of the human race. The human race. And God loves all of the human race just as much as he loves me. He is calling me to put off all falsehood, not only to people in the church, but to them. Isn't it true that if we really do speak truthfully, bad things will happen? You know, some people kind of get the impression that speaking truthfully is the same thing as being argumentative or offensive. You know what I mean? You ever say someone, see someone else? Of course, not us, right? You ever seen somebody else say something that hurt another person? And when we ask them, why did you say that? They said, well, I was just telling the truth. Have you ever seen that happen? And maybe they were just telling the truth. Speaking the truth is not the same thing as being offensive and being argumentative. Speaking the truth is not saying things to hurt people. That is not necessary for speaking the truth. We are called to speak the truth in love. In love. To expect complete truthfulness. Well, you know something? If when I look at this, I'm thinking, wow, it really is unrealistic for me to always say the whole truth to everybody all the time. That is a huge, huge task. You know, I think it is unrealistic for me in my own power. Absolutely, it's unrealistic. And if you ever try to confront somebody else about their lying, their falsehood, this may be the exact argument you hear back from them. Well, what do you expect me to do? That's what you're asking is just unrealistic. Life don't work that way here. What planet are you from? I live here on planet Earth where, you know, things can, you got to protect yourself, people are mean and bad things happen. And you can't just be truthful all the time. There's a point there. Under my own power, I don't have the power to be truthful as much as God is calling me to be to everybody all the time. What does that mean? There's more room for the grace of God. More room for the grace of God. See, the grace of God is not only for the purpose of forgiving me of where I've failed, but it's also for the purpose of it giving me the power of Christ. I really hope, if you listen to me preach, as long as I'm allowed to do this, I'm kind of anticipating at some point this church may say, Fred, we've heard way too much of you. You know, why don't we give somebody else chances here? But if you listen to me, I really hope at some point you guys will memorize the first few verses of 2 Corinthians 12. You'll hear me quote it over and over again. Passage where Paul says, there's a thorn given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I asked the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Just so I can be forgiven of my sins? No. My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Yes, this may be something that's unrealistic to expect. For me to be absolutely truthful to everybody without being argumentative or vindictive. But speaking the truth in love, not giving false impression, that may be far beyond what I am capable of doing. I am weak. I am weak. But his grace is sufficient for me. For his power, Christ's power, is made perfect in my weaknesses. That's why I got to talk about my lying. I've got to boast in my weaknesses. I've got to tell people as much as possible about my weaknesses. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. Because I can't do this under my own power. So I'm wondering, we still now are creating falsehoods by blatant lies, by not speaking the whole truth, by seeking only the part of the truth that makes us look good. All of that. Can we look at those things without feeling guilt and shame? Can we look at those things and really just be honest without having to feel bad and, oh man, I'm such a louse? But instead, can we look at those things, the areas of our lives where we still don't speak the whole truth in love to our neighbor? Can we look at this instead and be excited to find the ways, the areas of our lives that God still can give us more grace, more power, more things that we can surrender to him, more areas that the Holy Spirit of Christ can take over and leave and end up with our lives being something that we have no power to create on our own. But yet we get to experience the rewards for it. Can we look at this? Have we been trying to prop up? What falsehoods have we been trying to hold on to rather than putting off? What happens if we were to put away the falsehoods that we've held on to for a long time, for years in my case? What happens? Maybe we don't know. But I do know this. It's room for the grace of God. It's room for the power of God. And when the power of the grace of God works, all sorts of unexpected, great things happen. And sometimes some uncomfortable things happen to us. But you know, that's minor. That's really nothing compared to the great things that God wants to do in our lives today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for